So welcome everybody. My name is Pian Hussein and my brother here.
It's the Pastor Emmanuel Shilima.
Okay, so we're with, this is a mission enterprise in association with
New Life Global Church.
Presents. Okay, this is our first video since we've done the introductory video last year. So it's been a while. We've been busy doing other things, but anyhow, we're back on track. And just to let you know that the next video after this one, which will probably be in about maybe 2-3 weeks, maybe less than that, we'll see how it goes. We're going to do a video on the need for a reformation in the church, which we already had a conference at New Life Global Church with
Apostle Israel Onanobe and Apostle Francis from Chicago.
That's right.
Yes.
So we just want to put a plug in that. And I mentioned names because we're going to put their pictures up there too in the video.
Yeah.
So I'd like to do that. So to edify the body of Christ, to promote the body of Christ, right?
Yes.
Okay, so today's the message. This came out of something that has been bothering me for quite a few years. And in our time of prayer, usually on Tuesday morning, sometimes we put it off to another day. My brother here, Emmanuel, started to give voice to something that he saw in the church, which is a very valid observation.
Yes.
And it was basically, here the title of this teaching, or more of an exhortation what we're going to do today. It's more of an exhortation what we're going to do together with a teaching involved and a bit of preaching, but more of an exhortation, is taking God's grace in vain or for granted, whether we're doing it willfully or out of ignorance, we're still doing it. Most of us are doing it and we don't even know it. So this is what we want to address today, to bring not condemnation, but to bring conviction.
Conviction, yes.
Right?
Because I believe that if people will understand what the sacrifice that God or Jesus made for us, the value that he put on the cross, then we will begin to appreciate what we have as a Christian, as a believer, as a born again, what has been given to us. So I believe that most of us, the church, I'm not talking about the outside, I'm talking about the inside people in the church, are still, most of them are ignorant of what God, of what Jesus did for us. And at the same time, there are some that are doing it willingly, thinking that grace covers everything. So we must understand the difference between what grace covers and what we are doing against what has been done.
That's right.
For us.
That's right. And it's you mentioned the word sacrifice, so this leads us right into the first verse here, which I'm going to read out. Is John 3:16. That's a verse that almost, I would say, every Christian knows.
Yes.
John 3:16, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is, though, you use the word sacrifice, and one of the best translations I came across, I'm going to read out of the Amplified here. It says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up." Gave up. Now, some translations translate it sacrifice because of the word giving up. He gave something up, right?
Yeah.
Gave up his only begotten, unique son so that whoever believes in trust, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life.
Now, if you think for a moment on that particular verse, for God so prized. Now, when you go on to buy something and the price is high, that means the quality of that product is good.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah, now, very good.
So he priced his son that high, but he was willing to give it up.
That's right.
For us.
For us.
So that we can be brought back.
That's right.
For whosoever believeth in
that's
him.
That's right.
Will not perish. So his intent for giving up such an important valued something.
Yeah.
It's he thought of us and he imagined us coming back.
That's right.
To what belongs to him. So he
there's a purpose behind it. He expected something in return.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's right. He said, I do this in order for you to do this, to come back to me. That's right.
He did not do it because it's simple. He did not do it because it's common.
No.
He did it out of love that he gave something that was so dear to him so that he can get us back to himself.
Which proves
my goodness
that there's value on us.
On us. Dennis.
Yes.
He put value in us.
Yeah.
And he knows, because if you want to get something that is valuable, must bring us something that is valuable.
That's right.
You don't want to go and take a dollar to go and buy a Mercedes Benz.
It's impossible.
It can't happen.
Never happen.
So he thought of us from the beginning.
That's right.
And he knew, he saw that the only thing that is able to redeem man is the Son.
That's right.
Which is so dear to him.
That's
His only begotten.
That's
doesn't have another one.
That's right. But really, it's he's redeeming his sons, because back in the garden before the fall, Adam, it says in Luke 3:38, I believe, it says Adam, son of God.
Yes.
But he lost his son.
Sonship.
So he lost his sonship.
Yes.
So he sent, God sent his only begotten son in his humanity to redeem his sons back.
Back to himself.
Wow. Okay, that's one verse, and we got about 10 verses to go. That's okay, let's move on here. Philippians 2:12, amplified of course. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchful against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Wow, you want to touch on that?
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He gave all these things just to show you the importance that he placed on what he has given to
us. Exactly.
And he do not... I repeat, he do not want us to mess it up.
That's right.
He said, be cautious.
That's right. Wow.
Understand what he got.
Serious.
Seriously.
The Amplified says serious caution.
Cautious.
Not just caution, but serious.
With what?
Yeah.
With your salvation.
With your salvation.
With your salvation. Yeah. With what he has purchased you with.
Yeah.
In other words, he's saying that what I've given to you, what you guided.
That's right.
It's not something you turn around with.
That's right.
It's not something you
guard it.
You guide it.
You guard it.
Because it's of more importance.
That's right.
It's of higher value.
That's right. That's right. The last church I was part of years ago, when I met with one of the lead pastor there, when he came to visit me one day, I said, I feel like we're not serious about the Word of God. We're just not serious about it. We're just not taking it as seriously as we should.
Yes.
And I was right the whole time. Yeah. I know I was right. You know, the more you get into the Word, the more you realize how much you're not in the Word, or how much the Word's not in your life.
Yes.
You know, that's where the conviction should come. Not condemnation, but bring conviction.
Yes.
Because you know what? There's coming a day where there won't be no conviction anymore. It's going to be condemnation.
Yes.
You know, and that's not God's doing. That's our doing. That's our doing. Okay. So, okay. Hebrews 2, the epistle to the Hebrews, most Greek scholars, they say they call it the epistle of warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Warnings. They're referring to Israelites, how they neglected, how they basically, you know, took for granted what God had done for them, taking them out of the world, out of Egypt, the system of Egypt, Babylon, the whole thing, wanting to bring them into the promised land, which they did not deserve, you know, and what did they do with it? You know, and I just wanted, this came to me this morning, and I just the word deserve, you know, we don't deserve salvation. We don't. But Jesus, he deserved it for us.
Yes.
So in many ways, we do deserve salvation in Christ.
Yes.
In Christ. On our own, we don't deserve it. But in Christ, we do deserve it.
Yes.
We do deserve it. It belongs to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So here, Hebrews 2, verse 1, since all this is true, we ought to pay... There it is again. We ought to pay much closer attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest in any way we drift past them and slip away. Wow.
We must
warning.
Pay attention.
Yes.
To what?
Closer attention.
Attention.
Yes.
To the truth.
That's right.
Which is the saving grace.
That's right.
Which is the salvation.
Yes.
We must pay attention to it. Why must we pay attention to it?
Closer attention.
Because if we fail to pay attention to it,
that's right.
Before you know it, you begin to drift.
That's right.
My
that's it is. We'll drift away.
We begin to drift away. And that is what is happening in the church today.
Yeah.
We're no longer paying attention to the principles and patterns of God.
That's right.
We're now trying to hear things that help us feel good.
That's right.
But he's saying here, close attention to the truth.
That's right.
Of your salvation.
That's right.
So that you will not.
That's right.
Be drifted away.
That's right.
Out of it.
That's right.
Why?
Yeah.
If you say you should not, or you will not, or he doesn't want you to drift away, that means there are people that are drifting away.
Absolutely. Why is he warning?
Warning
that?
Us.
Why? Because we are susceptible to drifting away. I see it all the time.
Yes.
I shared with this other guys at work, and they weren't even saved. I said, I could start off here at this point right here, and I'm going straight. Mm-hmm. But if I start drifting off a little bit, at first it's not too bad.
Yes,
there's not a big distance. But in a year, two, 3 years from now, I'll tell you, what is the distance from where I should be and where I am now? Yeah. You know, and this is the problem, right?
It's a
huge problem.
Because, Bible said, we shall know the truth.
That's right.
And the truth shall set us free.
That's right.
We also will know them by their fruit.
That's right.
But the question is, how many of us know the fruit?
That's right.
Because if you don't know the fruit,
that's right,
you will not know when you see.
That's right.
The bad one.
That's right.
Because
there's bad fruit. There's good fruit and there's bad fruit. Yeah.
But you have to be able to know.
To discern.
Yes.
That's
and so
right.
This is the right one. So when you're drifting,
that's
right, you're able to say, oh.
Uh-oh.
I am like somebody in the boat.
Mm. Yeah.
You've been anchored, and before you know it, you're drifting.
That's right, yeah. And next thing you know, it's like, hey, we're offshore.
We're off.
You know? So this brings us back to the word compass.
Mm-hmm.
Having a compass.
Yes.
And they say the word conscience, it carries the idea of your compass, your moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible talks about a seared conscience.
Yes.
Searing your conscience. Where your conscience doesn't work for you anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, because you've been looking at things, you've been listening to things,
mm-hmm,
you've been talking about things,
yeah,
that affects your conscience.
It dulls it.
That dulls it.
It dulls it.
So it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work.
It's
not sure. It's there,
but
it's not working good for you. It's working actually against you.
Yes.
Because share a little bit about the darkness. You know, the longer you're in darkness.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. You know, one thing I've discovered, if we turn off, we're in a room right now, or in the studio, if you turn off the light, you will notice that we're in dark. Give it 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We begin to see each other.
That's
we
right.
We begin to see everything.
Start seeing a little bit more anyhow, because you adjust.
You adjust to it.
You adjust.
But that does not mean that there's a light here.
No, that's right.
So, it,
yeah.
The more we stay in the dark,
yeah,
the more we
moral
have
darkness,
trust.
Moral, yeah, you start adjusting to that darkness, and it becomes light to you.
It becomes light.
Oh, my goodness.
And so many of us have taken the darkness because they could see from it. They think, okay, we have light.
Oh, my goodness.
But until the actual light comes in and shines,
that's right,
then you begin to say, oh,
that's right,
though I was seeing, but I wasn't in
light. That's right. So they're calling light dark, and they're calling dark light.
Yes.
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're
doing. We see that.
And most of them is out of ignorance. And most of them, it is out of willingness, because they do not want to come up or expose themselves.
Right. That's right.
You see,
That's pride.
They want to keep it there.
Yeah, they don't want to admit I was wrong.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
So we're talking about, really, we're talking about doctrine here, too.
Yes.
Teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what... The church is all about teaching. It's all about indoctrination, right? Okay. So, verse 3. How shall we escape appropriate retribution if we neglect? There it is again. Neglect. And refuse to pay attention. There it is. To pay attention or close attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, letting it drip past us forever. For it was declared at first by the Lord himself, as it was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard and speak, going back to the first disciples. That's what he's talking about,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this is just going on from verse 1, what we just talked about, right? So here we can move on real shortly here in Hebrews again, 4:1, chapter 4:1. I think this has more to do with the unbeliever, because it says here, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust this, lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it.
Mm.
I mean, I think, I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, forgive me, but I think what he's saying is like there are people out there that I've heard this before, I can't be saved. I've done too many things that are wrong, or maybe even the backslider.
Yes.
He says, I am way too far gone, God won't take me back. Mm. Well, you know what, God never moved.
Yes.
You're the one who moved away from God.
Yes.
So as long as you're willing to move back towards God, what does the word say? Come on to me, all you will labor, right?
And not only that, we must understand, you see, if we compare the level of our sin before he came and died,
yes,
and measure it to what we are doing right now. Now you ask yourself, if he could save you in that state of your life,
right,
he can still save you.
Absolutely.
Now.
That's right.
And again, look at where some people make mistake again. It doesn't matter what you're doing, God is not mad.
No.
Are you?
No.
God is mad at the lifestyle you're living.
Yes.
As a person, as an individual, the grace of God is available for you. And I said this to
people. Repent, to cause you to come back.
There's always a comeback.
Always. Always.
There's always a comeback.
Now, when it comes to sin, God always has an exit sign.
Yes.
You can leave your sin anytime you want. My grace is there to enable you to get free from the sin, to come back. It's always there.
Yeah.
But there's coming a day where it won't be there.
Yeah, when you won't have it.
That's
now,
right.
If we can take the story of the prodigal son to just throw more light on that. Now, even while the son was messing around with the father's wealth and everything,
inheritance,
the Bible said the eyes of the father was still watching.
That's right.
When he saw him from afar off, he did what? He ran to him.
Right.
He didn't say, "Hey, you woman of iniquity, go to
hell."
No. That love still prepared him to bring him. And he didn't even mention anything
He didn't.
That he did.
No, that's
but
right.
He welcomed him. So the thing is, God is, as my brother just said, he is immovable.
That's right.
He's still where he is.
That's right.
And he's still who he is.
That's right.
It is for us to acknowledge that we drift
that
away.
We're wrong. Yeah.
Then we'll begin to do what? Turn
That's
our
right.
will
That's
back.
Right. That's right. Metanoia. Change of mind.
Change
repentance,
your mind.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And come back.
That's
to
right.
Yes.
So this is the whole thing with the Father and towards his creation.
Yes.
He hasn't abandoned his creation.
No.
The creation turned away from God.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't turn away from Adam.
No.
Adam turned away from God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is the good news.
But even like that.
Yes.
Okay. God did not abandon them.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He said,
that's
look
right.
at what you have done,
that's
and
right.
because of what you have done, I'm gonna move you.
That's right.
But he never left them alone.
No, that's
because
right.
Because the Bible said he went ahead to provide for their,
that's right, for their covering. That's right.
Amen?
A sacrifice.
A sacrifice.
Which is a foreshadow of the sacrifice that was cooked to come 4,000 years later. Wow.
So even like that.
Yeah, even there.
He's still with them.
He was still there. Well, what did he say? Where are you? So he's actually chasing after him. Okay. Yeah, so wow, I'll tell you, brother. This is good. This is better than what I thought. I was kind of a little concerned about this morning. I said, you know, we haven't done this in a while, but it's, but when God's in something, you know, and we're going to leave that on there to, you know, because we have no, you know, we haven't practiced this or anything. I put the notes together, right? I sent it to you. I didn't even go through the first time. And, we just got together this morning but we've been together for a year and a half, right? So we're getting to know each other.
And we are pulling from the resources.
That's right. That's already inside of us. That's right.
We're not pulling from the paper. You see, I believe that the more you download, we sometimes human body works like a computer.
Yes, it does.
When you bought a brand new computer and you want to bring out something you have not put in there, you can.
That's right.
But when you have downloaded then you can go click it.
That's right. And
it gives
back. That's right.
So that's what the meditation of the Word of God.
That's right.
You know,
we're going to touch on
reading the Word of God.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. That's right.
So Paul said to Timothy, "Be ready.
That's right.
It's season.
And out of season.
That means as you're walking on the street, it could be a provision for
you. Oh, you mean not just in their church pulpit on Sunday morning?
No, I told them to take the pulpit.
Yeah, take the pulpit out.
I'll take God.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Okay. We need to take the pulpits out in the street. That's what we need to do. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, okay. Now this one here, 1 Corinthians 6, there's a few verses here and that has key words here. We're going to look at them here. Key words that describe ignorance. First of all, we start with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all going to be in chapter 6 here, starting with verse 2 and 3, amplified of course. Do you not know that the saints, the believers, will one day judge and govern the world, and if the world itself is to be judged and ruled by you, are you unworthy and incompetent to try such petty matters of the smallest courts of justice? But the key in here is, do you not know? So they did not know something. Paul said, what? Don't you know this yet?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. Do you not know again also that we Christians are to judge the very angels and pronounce opinion between right and wrong for them? How much more then as to matters pertaining to this world and of this light only? So we have twice already. Do you not know?
Are you still ignorant
of this? Are you still ignorant of this?
No, and I believe for Paul to be asking them this question,
yeah,
Paul have actually invested
Absolutely.
Most of his time in teaching them
Absolutely.
Of the principles
yeah.
and patterns of things. Now, coming back and say, wait a minute. After all this time I've spent with you,
yeah, right.
I've educated
that's
you,
right.
do you still not
know?
Like, wait a minute. What is wrong with you?
That's right. So if he said, do you not know, but he never taught them nothing, he would have the right to say that.
Sorry, yes.
But he has the right to say that. Don't you not know? I've been teaching you this. Going back to the parable where Jesus said, he taught on the parable of the sower, Mark 4, and he said, let us cross on the other side.
Yes.
So he goes in, they get in, they get in the boat, Jesus goes to sleep, has a good sleep.
Uh-huh.
I'm claiming that in the name of Jesus. If Jesus can sleep through a storm, I can sleep through no storm, right?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Anyhow, and but the thing is though, when the storm arose, which was a work of the enemy,
mm-hmm.
What did they do? They said, we're dying.
Yeah, there's some panic.
He said, what the hell are you talking about? You're dying. I just said we're going across the other side. So he already told them beforehand. So that's why he was so hard on him.
Yes.
See, on them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, you have little faith at the end.
Yes.
Right? So the whole thing was a lack of faith.
You know, I preached a message on that topic. I said, you know, if Jesus said, let us
that's right.
go over the other side.
That's right.
Now, number one, you must understand that you are sitting right there with the author and finisher of everything. Now,
wow.
he said, he did
the
not,
Alpha and Omega, right there.
Yeah, he did not say,
no.
you guys go over the other side and I'll meet you.
That's right.
Or,
he's done that before, but this time he was with them.
I'm going with you.
That's right.
Now, understanding whom that is with you
that's right.
is enough.
Yeah, it's paramount.
Confidence.
Absolutely. Yeah.
To know
that you can go through.
You've been with him.
That's right.
You've seen what he did.
Yeah.
You've seen how he raised Lazarus.
Yeah.
You've seen how he did. You know, a lot of things has happened.
Yeah.
And still, at the same time,
yeah.
you did not have enough faith
mm-hmm.
to know
yeah.
that nothing
that's right.
would happen in his presence.
That's right. I would say, oh my God, where are you? And the whole time he was inside of me.
I'm ready.
That's religion. Religion is God is up there.
Mm-hmm.
But us, born again, God's inside of us. He's right inside of us. How much more do you want?
And
he paid a price for that.
He did.
He paid a price for that.
That's
for him to come to dwell within mankind, he paid a price for that. That's right. Okay. All right. So, okay. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Again, do you not know
mm-hmm.
that the unrighteous and the wrongdoer will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, misled, neither the impure, the immoral, the idolater, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in homosexuality.
Whoa.
Okay, so do you not know again? So he warned them beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
He warned them.
Yes.
He taught on this beforehand.
Now, he mentioned this.
Yeah.
Do you not know that the unrighteous...
Yes, right.
Unrighteous does not mean only the people that are in the world.
No.
There are so many people in the social service,
yeah.
in the body of Christ,
that's right.
that are still living unrighteous.
They're living like the world. That's right.
So the same thing that
yeah.
Paul is talking to them is talking not only the outside, he's talking to the people in the church.
Because the context is the believers. In the Corinthian church.
He's talking to the people of Christ.
Hey, I've heard teachings on TV by, wealthy preachers
mm-hmm.
saying that he was addressing the unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
No. He's addressing the believers. I'm not mentioning no names. Okay?
Yeah, no.
I'm being nice right now. I'd have it edited anyhow, so, because I don't want to get into that,
no,
you know?
Of course.
But, okay. So next thing you know, we got here is, again, Corinthians 6, chapter 6, 15 and 16. Now, this is really key here also. Do you not see and know that your bodies are members,
mm-hmm.
they're bodily parts of Christ the Messiah? Am I therefore to take the parts of Christ and make them parts of a prostitute?
Oh my God.
Never,
oh my God.
Never. Let me go on here.
Oh my God.
Or do you, verse 16, or do you not know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. Wow.
Yeah,
so he's already warned them beforehand.
I was talking to a young lady, and I said to her, I said, do you think that the reason why God said we should not get involved in premarital sex or whatever is because he wanted to deprive us of the pleasure of enjoying it.
Yeah, no.
I said, no.
No.
I said, before whatever, any instruction or any warning given to us is always for our benefit.
That's right. Always.
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 God is not selfish.
No, he's not.
Whatever he does, he does to give us.
That's right.
A better.
Absolutely.
End.
My goodness. Absolutely.
If you read the Bible, every warning is to prevent an event that
absolutely
will destroy
preventive medicine. Prevention.
He always thinks good of his people.
Always.
He's a good father.
Always. Always.
Always.
Always. It's because we misunderstand. You said yesterday at the service about perceiving, how you perceive God.
Yes.
And I made a little note is that the more accurate your perceptions of God are, his character, his attributes, the more you're going to want to spend time with him.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I had a wrong view, and you mentioned that too yesterday, which I've touched on before, and there's books written on this, where we have a wrong perception of God, our Father, because of our bad relationship with our earthly fathers.
Yes.
And we usually bring that into a relationship with God. I did that for years.
Yes.
I thought every time I did something mistake, I thought God was mad at me. I'm not saying he was pleased with me, but he wasn't mad at me. He wasn't. He wasn't turned. Or whatever. Not even near. Not even close.
Yes.
Because if that's the way God was, there'd be no hope for us. If God turned his back on us, who are you going to run to?
That's the problem.
Who are you going to run to?
That's the problem.
You got nobody to run to.
But at the same time, you will also understand that most of people, both in the church, because of their wrong perception of who God is, and the character and the pattern and the principles of God, are beginning to live a different life.
That's right.
Now, even when God said, sorrow with fear and trembling, that fear is not like fear.
No.
No, it's a kind of respect.
Yeah, and we're going to touch on that.
Oh,
that's so Philippians.
It's more of respect.
Well, I think we already did, didn't we?
Okay, so when we perceive God as a loving God, you begin to approach
that's
him.
Right.
As a loving father.
Absolutely.
And when you perceive God because of wrong teaching and wrong doctrine, God is mad at you, God wants to kill you, you want to send you to hell. Now when you want to go to him, you become conscious of those things. Instead of you become.
Yeah.
So I believe that if our perception is right and accurate, we will serve God, we'll give ourselves more to him.
Yeah.
For what he wants to do.
Absolutely.
With us and in us.
Absolutely. And this fear is all about relationship. I mean, I've, you know, over the years, I've kind of, that's what God wants. He doesn't want to, he doesn't want us to come to him, you know. No, it's a relationship. It's father and son. That's what the whole thing is. It's about family.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
But we make it out to be something else.
Yes.
That's what religion does, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do's and don'ts. You know,
yeah.
I have to pray. No, you don't have to pray. You get to pray. Did you pray before you got saved? I did. I drank. I fornicated. I did drugs. After I got saved, I got baptized. No, okay, we're going to get into that later on. Okay, so, 1 Corinthians 6:19, last one. Do you not know? There he is again. Six times. This is the sixth time. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. The next verse says that. I keep it out.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah.
You've been bought.
You've been bought.
You've been bought.
That's right.
Now, let's go back a little bit in the time of slavery. I don't tell people, coming from Africa at the age of 23, I had to go and serve somebody.
That's right.
For 7 years for
$1,000.
Get this. During your time, of that 7 years commitment, you don't own yourself.
That's right.
He tells you when to eat, when to go to bed, when to wake up, when to do whatever you do.
That's right.
Now, let's say during that period somebody came and said, you know what, I don't want to learn anymore. You want $1,000? Take it.
Wow.
You are free.
You're free. Somebody paid the $1,000.
Somebody paid that and said, you're free.
You're free.
Now, you cannot wake up anytime you want.
Yeah.
When we understand the gravity of the punishment that was set for us before, that's why I said we must understand and put an important value in our salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's important.
Absolutely. And I believe one of the reasons that we don't is because we have not taught. I was saved for 13 years. And I know God, he tried to get that over to me, but because of the church I was part of, God is trying to get this over from the pulpits.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we should learn about it. I mean, at home too, don't get me wrong, but we should hear about the cross, what took place at the cross, who died at the cross. Not only Jesus died at the cross, you died at the cross. You were crucified.
Yeah.
It says we were crucified.
Also that.
That's right. We died with him. We raised with him.
Hallelujah.
We went to hell with him. He did it for us. He didn't do it for himself or crying out loud.
Yeah,
he did it for us.
Himself.
Yeah, he did it for us.
Yes.
You know, it's our substitution, right? He became our substitute, right?
Yes.
In the place of. Okay. So, okay. So let's move on to here to 1 Corinthians 15:10, which is a huge verse, but I won't read it out of the Amplified because the Amplified, it has it wrong a little bit. I love the Amplified, but it's not always right. So we're going to go to the New King James here. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Now listen to this. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Than all the other apostles. Right. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So I remember when God opened this up to me years ago, and I know he showed me this. Paul, the other apostles had access to God's grace as much as Paul did,
mm-hmm.
but Paul did more with it than they did.
They didn't, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
So that means we all have access to God's grace. The minute you're born again, you have access, you have full access to his grace.
Yes.
Actually, you have access to his grace before you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta get saved.
Yes, yes.
The grace is there.
Yes.
Right? Salvation is there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know salvation is more than just salvation from hell.
Well,
it's over sozo.
Mm-hmm.
It's deliverance,
oh.
prosperity, it's for everything, the whole
yes.
life, right?
Yes.
So Paul says, I did not take that grace in vain.
In vain.
I took it more, I did more with it.
Paul is saying, I understand why the grace was given to me.
That's right.
Okay. Now let's think about this like this. If you, of course, you're already doing what you know grace saved you for, and I'm doing what
grace saved you for, not only from, but for. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
He saved us from to for.
For. That's right. From to for. That's
because
right.
Paul said.
Yeah.
That grace that saved me, I did not take it in vain.
That's
that
right.
means I didn't just get it and just
do nothing with it.
He gave it to me for
something. For something.
And what I know to do is what that grace has given me to
that's
do.
That's right.
And that's why Paul did not waste time.
That's
he
right.
said, when I encountered you, I consulted nobody.
That's it.
I understood.
Wow. He didn't consult flesh and blood. That's right.
And
he went away. That's right.
Right away. So you understand that we, even as a Christian, the body of Christ, if we all, we do what grace was given to us for.
That's right.
We will have a better place
to
live in.
Absolutely.
Well, the problem is so many of us, again, some are because of ignorance, some because of, let me put it this way, not well educated in what the grace
that's
has
right.
done for them.
That's right.
And they are lacking. Well, Paul, thank God for Paul. Paul. But again, Paul did not say, I did this because of who I am.
No, he didn't say that at all.
He said, I did this.
Yeah.
But not me.
No.
It is the grace.
That's right.
The enablement.
That's right.
You see, okay, let me just say this quickly. I tell people, three things that we need to fulfill our purpose in life. One is availability.
That's right.
Two is accountability.
That's right.
Three is the ability.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
now,
right.
out of that three, God expects us to do two.
Yes, making ourselves available.
Available, accountable.
Being accountable to him.
But the ability he has already given to that's
right.
a grace.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So when you make yourself available,
yes.
be accountable unto God and unto the people he has allowed you to,
yes.
then the grace
that's
to
right.
do more.
Absolutely.
Paul said, I can do all things
that's right.
through him.
That's right.
Who strengthens me.
That's right.
Who strengthens me.
That's right.
And I can do the things which he has strengthened me
that's
to
right.
do.
That's right. That's right. So there's strength in his grace to do what he wants to do.
Yes.
That's right. Not to what we want to do.
No.
That's where the availability comes into the play, right?
Yes.
We have to make ourselves available because we're free moral agents, right?
Yes.
That's right. We got our freedom back, but God wants us to use our freedom for his kingdom purposes, right?
Amen.
Okay. So next we go to 2 Corinthians 6:1. Because it has the word vain again in it. Laboring together as God's fellow workers with him then, we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That merciful kindness of which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive it to no purpose. And that's exactly what we just said right now, right? Basically.
Yes.
You just preached on the verse, right? Okay. So Romans 6:3. Here we are. Ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ignorant? Are you ignorant of the fact? So this is Romans This is not in Corinthians. This is Romans. Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Okay, so that's very important also, and we're not going to get into Romans 6, but Romans 6 is a very important chapter, Romans 5, because it talks about getting free, while Romans 6:6 it says that your old man was crucified, right? So that's what we have to understand. So he goes on and on about the sin. You're no longer the slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. And like you said, a slave, he becomes under the dominion of that sin. Mm-hmm. So God, Paul said, because of the grace, we can come under the dominion of righteousness.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's what I experienced, and I would never, my goodness, I hope not, I better not, I would never want to go back under the dominion of sin.
Oh my goodness.
You came from, you know, Africa,
yes.
But I come from Canada. And there's lots of sin over here. It's a different kind of, you know, you've got a different background.
Yes.
You don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to what I came out of. I'm not interested whatsoever. Okay.
Amen.
Can we move on to the power statement?
Go ahead. But at the same time, I also know that, as Paul said, the grace of God upon us. Like, I know, what is the grace?
Yeah.
Grace is Christ himself.
That's right.
Giving himself to us.
That's right.
Now, in other words, Christ is working in us,
yes,
to accomplish his purpose.
That's right.
In the world.
That's what it is to be in Christ.
In Christ.
That's right.
So when we look at grace, as Paul said, he said, if I can put it this way, do not accept Christ.
That's right.
In vain.
Wow. Yeah.
Do not accept it in vain.
That's right.
If you accept it,
yeah,
use it for the purpose which he was given to you.
That's right.
It's like somebody that is walking on the road, and as a company, mm-hmm, giving us some some tractors,
yeah,
to go and clean the snow.
That's right.
And you guys say, give me one.
Yeah.
And they gave you one, you go to the driver and pack it.
Yeah, and you don't do nothing.
You do nothing.
That's
when
right.
they come,
yeah,
they will cut off your head.
That's right. Because isn't there a parable on that? About the steward?
Yeah.
About the talents?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about. The gift.
So when we receive something,
right,
he gave it to us.
That's right.
So for God, purpose.
God expects you to use it.
Use it.
That's right. For his purposes.
Paul said,
that's right,
not in vain.
No.
I couldn't get it and just, I
do nothing with it. Yeah.
And I ran with it.
I ran with it. That's why it keeps on saying running the race, right? I ran my race, my crown, for what was set before me. You know, the vision, God gave a vision, God gave you a vision, God gave me a vision, and we're merging visions too, so we're running with it the best that we can, and of course we're learning too, we're making mistakes here and there, but we're learning, right?
We're not perfect.
No, we're not. In spirit, we're perfect, but not in our soul, right? Okay, so finally, five power statements with key comments. So, anyhow, okay, the violation of this grace, taking God's grace for granted, I think we really touched on that already.
Yes, yes.
So I just want to say that so we can put on a statement up there on the video. I want to touch on this a little bit, and you've got the verse there to begin with. The violation of the instructions of his grace. This is what I got from Dave Robertson years ago. God gave this over to me. I had never heard of this before, even though I was already praying in tongues a lot. I was missing other areas of my life, which was the meditation of his word. So what does the word say about meditating? You want to read it out for us?
Okay.
You got to read for any. Verse 2.
Let me read verse 2.
Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, his precept and teaching, his habitual meditate.
Wow.
Day and night.
Wow.
Now, look at it.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Habitual.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love that word. No, when the devil attacks you.
No.
Not when you're looking for something.
That's right.
Not when you want to get something from God.
No.
Habitual means it becomes a habit.
A habit.
Something you do all the time.
All the time.
I said to people,
whether it's good or not, whether it's good, things are going good or not, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
Like, the same way you go to bed and wake up, the same way you eat, the same way it becomes a lifestyle.
That's right, a lifestyle.
It becomes something that you cannot do with.
That's right.
So many of us now, most of us,
yes,
cannot leave their house without their cell phone.
That's right. Yeah, we know that.
Without their cell phone.
We already experienced that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No one that David said.
That's right.
The one thing I ask of the Lord is, I will go to his temple,
mm-hmm,
and just gaze at the beauty.
Yeah.
Oh God.
You know, and David, You know, David was an Old Testament saint, and David was really talking about what we have available today.
Yes.
Because, I mean, he had available, but he didn't have what we have today. So I think a lot of these Old Testament, I think we're going to get a good whooping when we get in heaven. I think Abraham and David's going to be sitting there.
Yes.
Well, not you and me anyhow, because we're going to, you know, we're going to take God's grace to the fullness, but there's I think they're going to be sitting there with Jesus and say, you didn't do the right thing. What are you doing? We wanted this. We couldn't have access to it. You've got the real deal. What the hell did you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next one is the confession of God's word, which is found in Hebrews. And I should have it right here. Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews 10:23. I'm going to read it out here. It says here, so let us seize and hold fast.
Yes.
There it is. That's a habitual thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And retain without wavering the hope or the expectation or the faith that we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. God wants to hear his word coming out of our mouth. He wants us to meditate it, and he wants us to speak it. That's what he wants. Why speak about, we were in the world, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we're not of it anymore. But most of us, I hear it all the time, even here at New Life Global Church. I mean, not everybody, but some people. It's like they're talking about their problem. It's like, I mean, I can just walk out. It's like, but I've been there.
Yes.
I was like that years ago. So, you know, I'm careful with that. But at the same time, I'm seeing the difference. Instead of saying what the Word says, we're saying what we have.
We are confessing,
the
negative.
The negative.
And right. Most of the time, the problem is we don't have enough word in us.
Well, there you go.
Be able to, the Bible says, out of thy belly shall flow.
That's right. That's right.
You got to be able to have it inside.
That's
so that
right.
When you need it, you can pull it out.
That's right.
And make use of it.
That's right.
That's the problem.
That is a huge problem.
We don't spend much time in the Word of
That's
God.
Right.
To be able to allow the Word to assimilate and illuminate our mind.
That's right.
So that when we are when we encounter problems, we can now from there
a reservoir.
The Word of God
That's right.
and speak back with the Word of God to God.
Yeah.
Even Jesus himself did not, he used the Word of God
to
the devil.
That's right.
It's written.
It is written.
Jesus would have said, go to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Or you say, it is written.
That's right.
Man shall not live.
That's
so
right.
When we believers, we begin to come to that understanding that when we are faced with tragedy, when we're faced with difficulties, when we're faced with things, the right thing to do is to pull from the soul.
That's right.
The Bible called it the soul.
The sword of the Spirit.
Sword of the Spirit.
That's
pull
right.
from it.
That's right. It's part of your armor. Part of the armor.
Yes.
So that's why we need to meditate the Word.
Yes.
So that when we are in a trial, when we're going through our time, we'll have something as a reservoir. We've got the Word reserved inside of us so that we can pull it out when we need it as a sword of the Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here another one of the violations of his instruction of his grace is found in not praying much in tongues. I keep coming across this. I can't believe it. I don't understand it. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:2-4, it says when you pray in tongues, you're talking to God, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not speaking in tongues much, you're not talking to God. Okay, so people say, well, I can talk to God without praying in tongues. That's true. But God, His Word says, when you're speaking in tongues, you're not speaking to man, but to God. Mm-hmm. But also, you're edifying yourself.
Yes.
You're building yourself up, and you're speaking mysteries. So if you're not speaking much in tongues, you're not doing those things. So that's a violation of His grace. So we're taking these things in vain again, right?
And at the same time, I believe that in as much as we need to pray with understanding, as the Bible said, we also need, why I encourage people to pray more in the Spirit is that it allows you not to think about too much of yourself or too much of your problem or too much of whatever you're going
through. Exactly.
When you begin to pray in the Spirit, the Bible said, I think in
Romans 8:26. Yeah.
He said, for we do not know what to pray
for. That's right.
See, we don't have the word.
That's
I don't
right.
know what else to say.
Exactly.
The heaviness of the problem do not allow me to say anything. But he said, for the Spirit of God, pray it for us.
That's
so when I engage my spirit with the Spirit of God,
that's right.
You know, and the Bible says, he knows the mind of God.
That's right.
Wow. And also knows my mind.
Yeah.
So who is the better person to communicate?
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
To God.
So why run? I mean, there's a place to run. I mean, you know, there's a place to go to people that know more than you and stuff like that. We don't neglect
that. Of course.
I mean, you're big on that with the Apostle Israel, the whole thing, you know.
Yep.
And, but, I mean, you know, ultimately we need to run to the Lord first. I mean, you know, because he will lead you to some. He can lead you, or he can give you the answer right away. Mm-hmm. Because when you do connect with other people, it brings unity too, right?
Yes. So, and most of the times, the reason why first of all, I go to God.
Yes.
Secondly, when I go to people ahead of me,
that's right,
to get a confirmation.
That's
sometimes
right.
When we pray and we think we'll get something, it's also good.
Yes, it is.
To say, hey.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt this from the Lord. You bounce something, you bounce things off of
somebody,
people, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But again, don't go to somebody.
No.
That,
I was going to say that. Okay. Yeah, you got to make sure who you go to, because they can actually talk you out of what God told you to begin with.
Definitely.
You got to go to the right person, right?
Yes.
People that are praying for you.
Yes.
People that know you.
Yes.
You know?
And people of integrity.
The people of integrity. That's right. Okay. That's right. So let's move on to private worship, giving thanks. Are we okay with time, brother?
We're good.
Yeah, okay. So giving thanks. Giving thanks, Ephesians 5:21, giving thanks in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of complaining about what you're going through, don't give thanks for it, but give thanks in it, because you know that God has a way to get you out of it, right?
And I tell people, when you worship God out of your pain, you are telling God, I am not looking at this problem.
That's right.
I am looking at you.
That's right.
Because I know already the answers has been given. It is by faith that we give God thanks while we wait
for
the manifestation.
Right.
Now, some of the prayers happen instantly.
Yeah.
Some of them, while we give God thanks, they didn't unfold.
That's right.
Because when my heart is conditioned to give God thanks, no matter what, I give no room for the devil
to come
and steal my joy.
That's right.
So whether I have it or it's still coming, I give God thanks
because you know it's on the way.
Because
you know his character. You know he's good. He's not withholding it from you.
Yes.
He's not going, I got him this time. I put him in this situation. No. I used to think like that about God years ago. No more. Okay, last one here for the violation of instruction of his grace is found in fasting, concerning fasting, Matthew 9:15, but also Matthew 17:21. And unfortunately, most translations, they cut out verse 21, but it's supposed to be in there, should have been in there. The King James has it, the New King James has it, the Amplified has it, italicized. A lot of translations have omitted it all completely, but unfortunately, fasting is a big part of the daily life. I came across that in 2008 when God got on me about fasting, and I've been fasting ever since. So I don't want to get too much into fasting. We've got to wrap this up here. Neglecting the benefits of our salvation. I think we've already touched on that. Salvation was freely given, but it cost him everything. And let's close with the story here. A lack of appreciation because we do not value what he has done for us. And you share your story, brother, and that's it.
This is very important.
Yes,
because I believe that if we understand the value of what has been given to us, we will appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Papa said, handle it with care.
That's right.
Okay. Now let me say this. In December, during the Christmas, I bought a brand new airplane for my son.
Yeah, a model.
Yes.
A model.
A small toy. But still, it cost me something.
Absolutely.
In Canada, the minimum wage is $12.
That's right.
So you don't have an hour.
Yeah.
One had to walk.
That's right.
To make $50.
And really, it doesn't matter whether it's $50 or $500.
It's
because there's still value.
I walked to get.
That's right.
It didn't come from heaven.
No. That's right.
I bought it.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I know the value.
Yeah.
I know what it cost me.
And you have to go get it?
You have to go get it.
Yes. You have to go look for it.
Of course.
Right? That cost
money. I have to drive to London. That's where we found
it. Oh my goodness.
London, Ontario, to buy it.
Wow.
But my concern was this.
Yeah.
I know the value of what I bought.
Yes.
I know how much it cost.
Yes.
Then I brought it home to my son.
Yes.
Give it to him.
Yes.
Within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He broke it into pieces.
I thought it was 2 days later.
2 days what?
No?
No. Oh. This same day.
Oh my goodness.
He broke it into pieces.
Wow.
And I sat down right there. I feel like, punch him in the face. But as I sat down, the Holy Spirit began to minister to me.
Yeah.
He did not understand the value of what you bought.
That's right.
And that's why he mismanaged it.
Yes, that's right. Mismanaged.
He mismanaged
it. That's right.
Now, I thought about it this way. If we, the body of Christ, the Christian, so-called Christian, will understand what it costs. Yeah, what it cost Jesus to go to the cross.
Yes.
No, wait a minute. Do you know that in the process of going to the cross, the Bible said, and he wept.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, the heaviness of things.
All in the garden, has blood. The house of blood.
And he said, Father, if it is possible.
If it is possible.
No, no, no. Think about it.
Well, I know.
Think about
it. Yeah.
So it wasn't that easy, but he did it.
Yeah.
And he gave it to us for free.
That's right.
So in as much as it's free to us,
that's right.
It cost him something.
That's right.
Now, when we look at it, we use ourselves to imagine it. How will you protect and value something that costs you much?
That's right.
If you have gold,
yes.
Will you toss it on the balcony?
Not even.
You go and get a key and lock it inside. Why?
Oh, yeah.
You put much value on
that's
it.
That's right. That's right.
But something
right.
that the Bible says has pulled out us out of the darkness
and into light.
Into
that's right.
Light.
Yeah, and we're living as if we're living still in darkness. Yeah.
And we think, Paul, I love Paul, so he said, it's no longer me that's living.
That's right.
It is him.
Yeah.
Why? He has exchanged.
That's right. Old man, new man.
Yes, that's changed.
That's right. That's right.
It's like slavery.
Yeah.
When somebody bought you, he owns you.
Yes. Yes.
He paid
yes.
for you.
That's right.
And that's what Christ did for us.
Yeah.
And the moment we understand the magnificent, the sacrifice
that's right.
that he paid,
yeah.
what it cost him,
yeah.
I think we will begin to appreciate
that's
him
right.
more.
Absolutely.
Appreciate him not with our mouth,
no.
where our
no.
heart is far away from him.
No. With our lives.
Appreciate him with our lives,
yes.
being committed
that's right.
to what he has given us the grace for.
That's right.
Going even out of our ways yes. to make sure that this gospel
yes. That's
it's
right.
Preached.
That's right.
Because, the right way.
That's right. Because he gave it to you. Now you become a part of his body, the yes. body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So what? So that we can go out there.
Oh. He said,
that's
we
right.
are in partnership.
That's right.
With him.
That's right. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors.
That's
in 2 Corinthians 5, right? 18 to 21. So, and before we started the recording, we talked about why is it that we're doing these things. We don't appreciate it. It's a lack of maturity, right?
It's a lack of maturity.
It's a lack of maturity.
And whose job is it to mature the church?
That's right. That's
see,
right.
That's the service we're doing right now in the church.
The fivefold.
The fivefold.
That's right. The equipping of the saints.
Yes.
That's right.
And God said he gave it to the church.
That's right.
To do what?
Yeah.
To perfect the church.
Yeah. The full maturity of the man. That's right. Christ. That's right.
So how many of our churches today?
Yeah.
I met a man, I've been in the church for more than 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked to him about the fivefold. He said, no. It's the things of the past.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
And he found that from the pulpit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The people that are supposed to be teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
And building up the people.
Yeah, I know. I know, they're doing nothing. Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous.
The judgment will start from the house of
that's right, that's what it says in Peter. That's right. That's why this whole thing about Reformation, right? Okay,
yes.
So anyhow, thank you for your time. And we will see you in the next video, which will be on the need for a Reformation in the church.
God bless you. We love you and we pray with you. But one thing is important, Paul said, do not use the grace of God
in vain.
Remember, bless you.